Welcome back to our summer series, Embodied Holiness, One Voice, where one person shares one story, one thought, one idea, or one inspiration that we hope will help you draw near to God. Today's episode is by our friend Alex Doliak. You can find out more about Alex by visiting his website at alexdoliakphotography.com. Thanks for joining us today on Embodied Holiness, One Voice.
Dr. Dan Allender, featured in the movie The Heart of Man, says this, "I think if there is one thing that would surprise us that God would say, it's that I'm not ashamed of you, and I'm not afraid of you. I want your heart. You think I'm out to change you, to ruin you, to in many ways judge you? All the judgment has been taken care of. All your sin has already been taken care of. And what I want is for you to know my delight, even in your brokenness." I vividly remember hearing these words while sitting in a movie theater in South Alabama on a rainy Tuesday night. Thanks to a random Instagram ad, I decided to go solo to a one-night showing of The Heart of Man, a movie that aims to tear down our concepts of shame and brokenness as a means to transform them from spiritual barricades to spiritual resources. As the theater lights came up, I found myself stunned, teary-eyed, and vulnerable with a deep realization that God was sitting right next to me, ready to reach me and remind me of who He is and who I am called to be in response. What is it about a story that captivates us so well? At times, I'd say it's the narrative, the way it's being told, that gives a story power and life, regardless of whether or not there's any hint of truth to it. And yet other times, stories draw their impact solely from the fact that they are true, no matter what shape the storytelling takes. That marriage of real experience smeared with a dynamic of narrative is perhaps the most persuasive coupling, maybe because truth is simultaneously blatant and obscure. I rediscovered that marriage in a powerful way thanks to The Heart of Man's story. I'm not sure I could explain the film any better than Paul Young, one of the creators of the film, explained exposure, that is, as a great and terrifying grace. I couldn't agree more. I believe the movie's message to be both great and terrifying, self-shattering in a way, only because the walls we've built around our hearts have no choice but to crumble. Which is great, except for the fact that I think many of us have begun to associate ourselves as those walls instead of what's behind them. After seeing the film, I found myself thinking back to the story of Eden on my drive home, the very beginning of life and relationship. Man and woman choosing their own way, the forbidden way, a fatal choice resulting in a painful realization of exposure in every meaning of the word. And with that choice came the seed of shame that took root in all mankind. Despite the fact that they had been fully exposed all along, man and woman's first reflex upon realizing their naked state was to hide. And what does God do? Simply ask the question, "Where are you?" Now, God being, you know, God, I don't think finding the answer to the question was the point of Him asking it. In fact, I don't think the point of God asking any question is to receive a specific answer. Rather, I believe God wanted Adam to realize where he wasn't, to combat man's sudden reflex of dishonesty and shame with His presence, to remind His creation that His presence is exposure, brokenness and all. This isn't the first time the story has struck a chord with me, and it won't be the last. Because I think if we closely examine each of our own stories, we'll find the same disease of shame lurking in our insides. It's the curse of the fall. Mankind's story is still infected with a deep-seated fear of being known. Our story is still one of hiding. We always talk about the infinite amount of barriers between ourselves and God, and with good reason. There are too many to name. We are a broken people living in a broken world. Things don't work the way they should. And both history and future will continue to prove that point. But I'm of the opinion that the barriers we identify are much more than blockades to spiritual connection and understanding of Christ. The Heart of Man dives deep into the ocean of shame that has seeped into our framework, but it doesn't leave us to soak in it. Instead, shame is introduced as a bridge to God, a lifeline to the heartbeat of grace. And I can't help but wonder how many other barriers could become lifelines if we let them. I think we maintain a time-resistant confusion on who we are. Despite what the headlines and Facebook posts show at a surface level, I don't believe humanity's epidemic is violence, racism, or greed. It's much worse. It's a terribly destructive misconception of self-worth and identity, and the byproducts that stem from those deeply planted poisonous roots. My experience with this film reintroduced the concept of promise that is found in our greatest stories. Narratives laced with hope of promises fulfilled are the stories that change us, and perhaps it's because that is exactly our story, Christ's story. And his narrative is one of promise and rescue, one that can rewrite the most broken into the most beautiful. Oswald Chambers says, "The call of God is not a reflection of my nature. As long as I dwell on my own qualities and traits and think about what I am suited for, I will never hear the call of God." As Oswald so eloquently reminds us, we spend too much time focusing on crafting our own story that we forget God's story crafts us. No matter what mansions we build around our hearts, there is no structure that better welcomes in who we are than the room of grace. That is where the shame becomes a bridge, where hiding becomes a means to finding God, and thus ourselves. Where choosing our own way is redeemed through Christ choosing us. I'm not sure what my point is. I'm not sure that there's only one to make, but I know this. His story is our story. Whatever other narrative you're crafting or telling fades in comparison. Shame, or anything else, is not big enough to be a barrier. Rather, God is too big to let the curse of shame be a barrier. He has been in the business of redeeming the shattered since mankind's inception, and he's not giving up the renovation work anytime soon. If you want to be rescued, we have a Father that comes after you. Because he says it so well, I'll end with a quote from John 1:16. "For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace." Amen and amen. Come join the community on Instagram at Embodied Holiness. You can access all the episodes as well as bonus materials at embodiedholiness.com.